Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NCAA is running scared again, and it's not necessarily something surprising, for if we were putting together a movie involving the morally bankrupt, the NCAA, and Mark Emmert would play the role of Bernie Madoff. Hello, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Willie P here with you, in for Mark Sturgis, and we'd love to have you as a part of our program, at least over the next 2.5 hours, taking you all the way up to a little Wednesday night baseball tonight in the upstate. Telephone number 844-GSP-ESPN. 71307 is the text line. Start your message with ESPN. I am on Twitter at Willie P. Style. At ESPN Upstate is the station. There really wasn't anything today, and there is a little bit today that we can get some passionate takes on, including the brandy new schedule, Diesel. Get your weddings and your parties in order for 2020, as the Gamecock schedule for next season is out. We will review that. No, we're not going to play "that's a win, that's a loss." We're not going to do that garbage. But we are going to look at that, and it will once again be a part of my hypothesis that I keep trying to tell Gamecock fans. Hey, by the way, you know this whole SEC thing? Yeah, you play a tough schedule every year, guys. So let's not discount that and those statements that we've made over the course of time. We're going to talk about the Braves, who at least today and last night staved off the panic button from the standpoint of obvious situations involving the last couple of nights before last. Chance to possibly win their series against the Twins today. They're currently winning after putting up 3 in the 1st, 3 in the 3rd, run in the 6th, and 2 in the 8th to win 9-3 over Minnesota. So good days for them. We'll get into that a little bit. We're going to talk to Jim Zonke, Panthers sideline reporter on the Panthers Radio Network. He is in Chicago right now. When we talk to him, we will be talking to him about preseason game number one for the Panthers. And also, 2 hours from now, we'll be talking to the head coach of the Wofford Terriers. Wofford football head coach Josh Conklin will join us. Again, we've had chats with basically almost everybody over the course of the last couple of weeks when it comes to getting ready for the football season. We've heard extensively from Will Muschamp and Dabo Swinney. We'll hear more from Muschamp here on the addition of Tavian Feaster to the fold at South Carolina. We'll also hear from Thomas Brown today, the running backs coach at South Carolina. Heard earlier this week from Furman head coach Clay Hendricks. And, of course, today we'll hear from Josh Conklin. Anything you might have missed on the program is available not only at ESPNUpstate.com, but on the Radio.com app. The NCAA today, probably when they went to their offices in the palatial estate in Indianapolis, they probably thought they had a good idea. They're a organization that really lives off of hypocrisy, lives off the situation involving their academic sustainability, but also their monetary sustainability. And because of that, their business model, while labeled and really kind of posing as a nonprofit, still is a profit-oriented entity when it comes to making money off of things like the college football playoff and the NCAA tournament and its member schools. Let's keep in mind as well, they are in the profit-oriented business, making money off of donations that help to make sure that they can keep their schools afloat when it comes to competition, facilities, compensation for coaches. And that's where it ends. Because while people will say, will they get a scholarship? Will they get a cost of attendance stipend? Will they get all this free gear and the training table food and all that? It stops short of what I believe the true value is, at least for the two major collegiate sports, football and men's basketball. This has never been a Title IX issue to me. This has never been a fairness issue to me. This has been an issue of simple American capitalism. There's a value placed on these young men and women when it comes to certain situations. Obviously, there are some that are more valuable than others. And that's okay, because we're seeing now that they have a choice. There are plenty of people who are usurping the NBA or usurping college basketball to go overseas or play prep school or go straight to the G League. And because of that, they're getting compensated as such. And the NCAA today has issued a memo to agents Monday outlining new certification requirements to represent players testing NBA draft waters. The new criteria includes a bachelor's degree for the agent, certification from the Players Association for at least 3 years consecutively, professional liability insurance, and an in-person exam taken at the NCAA's office in Indianapolis in early November. Now, I know a lot of the national people are seeing this as an attack on Rich Paul, who is, as many people know, the confidant and close friend of LeBron James, who infamously did not finish school with LeBron. Of course, LeBron didn't go to school. He went right to the NBA, one of the last guys to do so. That is not where my beef is. I know a lot of people are using that and saying it's racist, it's this and that here and there. No, 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 no. That's a misdirection. That's a misdirection in my mind. What my beef and ire, where that is drawn, is that this is the NCAA's effort to try and protect its monetary interests based on what happened with the college basketball corruption scandal that has basically plagued the sport over the last 2 years. And Diesel, I don't know how you feel about the whole pay-for-play issue. I don't think that the money should come from the schools. I think players should be able to make money off their name and likeness. And as a result, this is the NCAA making what I call a futile, feckless, and again, morally bankrupt effort to do one thing, and that is just to protect their own interest and not the interest of the student athlete.
Well, they're a business. Why wouldn't they protect their own interest? Absolutely, they're going to protect their own interest. The issue with pay for play is that it is a purely capitalist system.
Sure.
And call it what you want, call it fair, call it unfair. That's your own personal political ideology. But you're going to have really just a handful of players every year.
Sure.
You know, let's call it 30, 40, 50 guys tops in football. Well, in basketball specifically, but you add some more to that in football that are going to even be marketable names.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Outside of that, nobody else is going to be making any money off this. It's going to be one or two guys on the Kentucky roster. Well, excuse me, it's going to be five guys on the Kentucky roster. Yeah. It's going to be five guys on the Duke roster, well, and nobody else in the ACC.
Let me take this another step, because from where I want this to go, I want this to be something where the payments are standardized, a.k.a. you have a service, you have a money item attached, it's uniform across the board. And a lot of these places, take Clemson and South Carolina, for example, these are basically the equivalent of pro teams that we have in our state. They are professional teams. They are treated as such in the community and in what you would call the state sports scene. And I have to think that if it's something for the effect of just whether it's extra pocket money, whether it's something that is attached with a value to it, whether it's an autograph session, Think about from the standpoint of a golf situation. Think about the South Carolina and Clemson golf teams who put out fantastic teams every year. You don't think that any one of the country clubs in the state wouldn't want, you know, a session with a certain Clemson or South Carolina golfer where they're paid for a service to lend their services there? I mean, there are opportunities in my mind, not just for the rev sports, but for the Olympic sports as well, to have these players earn money, and in a lot of cases, in sports where those people are not getting full rides. But here's the problem, is that the NCAA is too chicken scared, and I'm not using the word scared, I'd use a different word, but they're too chicken scared to be able to go out and actually give them something beyond what they believe is a valued thing. I'm telling you, the scholarship has no value. All it is a sunk cost. There's no money involved. You're giving that to somebody anyway. It's not something that is keeping them out of their opportunities and abilities to run the university. And I know that they're going to leave college, a lot of them, without the student loans that you and I probably went through college to have to be the burden of. But the one thing that I will say is that these athletes have a value. If there's one thing that was proven by the college basketball corruption scandal, is that there is a value. It's not stopping.
Do you not see the at least possibility, the door open now for a university to say that the scholarship means nothing and stop offering them altogether? If the university can say that you, Willie P, is coming in as a good basketball player, you're going to be able to make money from being a good basketball player from local businesses who want to advertise or do something with you, why should we offer you a scholarship in the first place? They could look at that as an opportunity to do away with the whole scholarship system anyway, because the scholarship is a gigantic financial burden on a university.
The one thing I will say about that is, if that is the case, then this wouldn't be about the money that they get from the NCAA tournament and the college football playoff and bowl games and things of that nature. The money has gotten out of whack, and it's disproportionately held by the universities and the coaches themselves. And because of that, the players are seeing, hey, we're not getting a piece of the pie. We know there's a value attached to us. If we don't like that, then we go somewhere else to be able to get that money. And because of that, I think it's going to start diluting the product. I think you're going to see more people foregoing college. You're going to see more people saying, you know what, I want to go straight to the NBA. The one-and-done rule is going to change. It's going to lead to more players possibly going, or at least trying to attempt to go in the league, and possibly sitting on benches, because that was the problem and why that rule was instituted, because they were trying to slow down the insertion of people into that labor force. If you want to chime in on this, 844-GSP-ESPN, I invite you to do so. Also on the Health There text line, 71307 here on ESPN. In upstate. But I, what I will say from the standpoint, I'm not saying that the scholarship does not have any value from the standpoint of making sure that those young men and young women get a degree, which is very valuable. I'm not saying that that's not valuable. What I am saying is the monetary value attached to these young men and women, we found out that the money probably isn't as high as we thought it would be, given the going rate for some of the money that was doled out by the agents, the shoe companies, and the stuff that ended up going to the assistants as well as the players in the situations involving both Brian Bowen, the allegations involving Kansas and Zion Williamson, and certain things that came to light in the trials that took place up in New York. All I'm saying is this agent rule is a big misdirection in their minds. I know people are going to say it's the Rich Paul rule. It's not a Rich Paul rule. It's a rule to once again try and protect their monetary interests. I think everybody in the world has this whole take wrong. They're trying to use Rich Paul and turn him into a martyr. I don't really care about Rich Paul. I don't think it really has anything to do with him, because quite honestly, he has enough of a reputation right now to be able to usurp that rule. And I think he even has an honorary degree from Cleveland State or wherever, somewhere up there in Akron. So in my mind, I don't really think this is about him. This is about trying to use this misdirection rule to try and clean up the sport in their mind. They think they're doing a good thing, and I think they're completely misfiring.
Yes. You rattled off a gigantic amount of information there. However, just to go back to something you said earlier in this discussion, you were talking about the value of sports outside of men's college basketball and football, saying that there really is not a whole lot of value. The great thing about some of these leagues having their own television networks is you can get real-time data.
True.
On whether or not these sports are viable. So let's say we're talking about softball. Well, they're filling time by putting softball on the SEC network or the Big Ten network, so they can get real-time data and decide and find out, is there really a market for this or not? Now, it used to be.
And softball, to use that as an example, the ratings for that have gone up.
Yeah. Well, it used to be, you know, a handful of guys wearing business suits in a boardroom somewhere saying, oh, we don't think that softball is going to have any value. Well, there is. I mean, it's the digital internet age where pretty much anything you want has value and has a niche for it on social media already. So, yes, this opens them up to the ability to get some real-time data on whether or not those sports are even viable. And, you know, especially in the softball world, let's keep with that example, in the softball world, Mizuno or whatever companies that are, mm-hmm. you know, are doing softball can offer these players something that the universities otherwise wouldn't.
Exactly. The money does not have to come from the university, but there has to be the ability, I think, for them to earn money off their name and likeness. California is already trying to make this happen, and the NCAA has tried to step in and say if this rule or law, I believe, that's on the books that's being proposed in the California state legislature is saying that to give them the opportunity to make money off the name and likeness, the NCAA has come back and said if that comes to pass, then nobody in the state of California will be able to compete for a championship in the NCAA. Again, they're running scared. They're morally bankrupt. And quite honestly, I don't see the reasoning behind trying to limit the ability for those young men and women to earn money off their name and likeness. And this agent rule, a complete misfire, a total misdirection. The problem is not the agents, Mark Emmert, the problem is you and your morally bankrupt system that is denying money in the people's hands that it belongs. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. 71307 on the text line. Start your message with ESPN. Hey, all this chatter about the South Carolina 2019 schedule, well, get your britches ready, Gamecock fans, because now you have another schedule to complain about. And guess what? That schedule might even be harder than this one. It's ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Willie P and Diesel here, back with you on Straight Up with Sturge, ESPN Upstate. Are you into this ESPN Ocho garbage?
It's fun for a day.
No.
No? I mean, this is done. We're watching competitive
Tetris.
We're
watching two guys play Tetris.
This isn't fun.
This is not sports.
Lawnmower racing? Now, that's fun. I don't know why they're not showing more of that.
They had the bus guys on earlier.
The bus guys?
It was like a bus figure eight deal.
Racing a bus?
Like bus racing in like a figure eight.
Fun?
It was almost kind of like a...
I'm into it.
Almost kind of like a moto... Not motocross, but like... Yeah, kind of like that. Almost kind of like a Monster Jam type situation.
Love it.
I like when they put darts on. That's the one that I like. That one gets a lot more intense than people realize. I'm a big darts on television.
I don't think
guy.
I've ever played darts sober in my life.
Probably better that way.
Yeah.
It'll be better. Gamecock football also probably better drunk than sober. Just kidding. Hey, look, I made a Gamecock slam. How about that?
Equal opportunity offender.
I made a Gamecock joke. Sorry. But yes, probably at least this year and next year, probably better drunk than sober. Just kidding. The South Carolina Gamecocks 2020 schedule is out. And let me tell you, for those of you who are saying that the Gamecocks schedule this year is untenable, boy, let me tell you about next year. Because South Carolina next year is going to have a November where I think 1-3 is probably your most optimistic look. And not only that, but it could be 1-3. It could be 0-4, given what you might have to go through. And I'm not necessarily trying to say that to completely pump up Wofford. But when you begin with Georgia at home on the 7th of November, you have to go to Tiger Stadium at LSU on the 14th. Spoiler alert, that's a night game, folks. They're not playing that game during the day. Home Wofford on the 21st, no bye week, and then at Death Valley. You have to play the two Death Valleys in 3 weeks.
Oof.
I mean, I'm sorry. That is...
Somebody in the SEC office has really got it in for South Carolina. Somebody
right?
really thinks they ought to move back to the ACC.
Easy. Easy. ESPNUpstate.com. Read Diesel's blog. He was...
Shameless plug.
He was championing that cause. The other parts of that schedule.
Still a good idea.
They open on the 5th of September against Coastal Carolina, 12th of September against East Carolina. South Carolina fans aren't going to like the fact that there's all these September games at home. Home September 19th against Missouri. And then they have to go to Kentucky at Florida October 3rd. That's a win. October 10th, home Tennessee. Then the bye, home A&M at Vanderbilt. Before that, November gauntlet, Georgia at LSU, Wofford, and then at Clemson. Only one bye week next year, unlike the two you have this year because of the schedule starting a little bit earlier this season as opposed to next. And again, I'm not going to do the thing that everybody does where it's like, oh, they can probably go 8-4 with that schedule or 9-3 with that schedule, or they'd be lucky to go 6-6 with that schedule. I sounded like Dan Reeves there a little bit. But I'm not going to do that. But what I will say, again, from the thesis perspective, is that the schedule is tough every year. You need to acclimate to the schedule. Don't let the schedule acclimate to you. Recruit to that. Use that as an advantage. That's why you get guys like Marshawn Lloyd in recruiting. That's why you try to go after guys like Tank Bigsby in recruiting. That's why you try to go after guys like Jordan Birch in recruiting. You sell that schedule. And no, from the standpoint of where South Carolina's non-conference schedule is, look, given what they have in 2020, I'm fine with playing Coastal and East Carolina in the same season like that. And then Wofford, and then their other non-conference contest, of course, is at Clemson. That is a tough, tough schedule. That's about as tough a schedule as you could put together conceivably during that season. I don't think adding another Power 5 in that vein is going to be a recipe for success. Will Muschamp's still trying to keep his job, folks. And he understands what the thing is because here's the other part of this. 2021, they're at East Carolina, and they're home to Troy with probably an in-state FCS to go along with it. 2022, they've got Wofford, Georgia State, Charlotte, and Clemson as their non-cons. They go back to Charlotte in 23 playing North Carolina. They have Akron in 24, App State in 25 on the road in Boone. In Boone, Diesel.
Woo!
They're going to go to Boone.
You're welcome for the cool weather, Gamecock fans.
In the mountains. 2025.
Bring a jacket.
So I understand the desire for a lot of Gamecock fans, or at least Clemson fans, who are salty about the fact that South Carolina doesn't go out of their way to schedule a second Power 5 in the non-conference. They get a second Power 5 by their SEC West rotational opponents. Because this year they play home to Alabama, next year they play home to LSU. Name me the amount of times you've looked at their cross-divisional opponent rotationally and said, oh my goodness, that's an automatic win over the last couple of years. Maybe twice. The Arkansas and the Ole Miss game. Outside of those two teams, I don't see a team that I would be confident in South Carolina competing with. Mississippi State is no bargain. Texas A&M is their permanent cross-division rival. They haven't beaten them ever. So stop me if I'm looking at this and saying, you know, the same thing everybody else is, but I again, 5 out of the 7 teams in the SEC West are teams that I feel like South Carolina wouldn't be favored against. So, regardless of venue. So don't look at me as somebody who's trying to tell you what what Gamecock fans should be thinking, because I believe that you need, as a Gamecock fan, to adapt more to the way of life in this conference. Because that is what this conference is. It is not easy, folks. Not easy to go through. And if you want to complain about the schedule, then go put a paw on your shirt and make that happen. Because guess what? Clemson fans ain't complaining about their schedule one bit. They love it. They love it. And guess what? They salivate for the opportunity to play Georgia and Oklahoma. They salivate for the opportunity to have A&M come to their building and go to A&M. And guess what they did? They went to A&M last year and beat them. They had a call go their way, but they beat them. Of course, the Gamecocks scheduled day off today. They were on the practice field in the afternoon. Will Muschamp will tell you why they moved that practice from the morning to the afternoon in a moment. But yesterday was the first opportunity for Champ to speak about the newest addition on the Gamecock roster, Tavian Feaster.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It seemed that when you look at Feaster from the standpoint of his addition to the Gamecock roster, there's some people who thought that there was something nefarious about his addition being so late in the game. But Will Muschamp gives you the real reason why it took him a while to get to camp.
It's good, good. You know, he's got an infected tooth. That's why he's late to practice. I'm sure there's been some wonderful internet rumors on that. But he had an infected tooth and had to get it handled today. And we'll see how that goes moving forward. But he's a hard worker and a talented young man. I'm excited he's here. Obviously, when a name goes into the transfer portal and you maybe have some interest to help your football team, and we knew Tavian from recruiting him before, and he's a good young man. He's got a great family. And we just reached out to him to see his interest in South Carolina. And he came down a couple times and really enjoyed it and felt like he fit in here. So that was a good opportunity for us and him.
That is, of course, the ability of folks to kind of come from that perspective and look at Feaster's addition on the team as a positive one. And again, that's something that we've been talking about over the course of the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Will Muschamp, basically, we are at the almost 1 week point of fall camp starting. His observations through the first four or five practices.
We haven't taken care of the ball offensively for 5 days, and that's been alarming. But that's something certainly that can be corrected. You know, I think, again, like I said earlier, we've got guys competing. We've got guys competing hard. We've had two good third down days back-to-back. Been pleased with that, and that competition will go in the red zone on practice six, which will be Thursday. We have an NCAA-mandated day off tomorrow, which we'll just have meetings and walkthroughs. But we'll go in the red zone for the first time in practice six. We're looking forward to that. Well, you know, just as far as guys, you know, being able to sustain at practice, and we've been able to sustain pretty well. The practice we had, I changed it to this afternoon. Wanted to get in the heat a little bit, and it wasn't as hot as I wanted it to be, but it was decent. So I've been pretty pleased with the conditioning of the team.
Will Muschamp, speaking about the ability of this team to adapt to the conditions and obviously the upcoming season that begins again in a little bit less than 3.5 weeks. Thomas Brown also spoke with the media, their position coach. Very fortunate to have him on the day that Feaster at least was first able to be seen by the media in Garnet and Black. His opening impressions of Tavian Feaster.
Well, he's a very versatile player. I would say first thing is competition. I think we needed more guys in the room to compete. That can play at a high level. He can definitely do that. Played a bunch of ball at the other school. And a great receiver out the backfield, great hands. So we'll see what he can do. His preparation is really impressive. I mean, you know, once he announced he was kind of coming to us, I met with him maybe two times individually before practice started, you know. And he just picked the offense up really fast. And I love the way he goes about his business. He's kind of a jokester at times. Once we start meetings, we start walkthroughs, start practice, he's Zoom focused, and that's very impressive. Like I said before, he's got he runs really good routes and catches the ball really well. Also at the backfield, that's been impressive also. But I knew that before he got here. I'm very open and transparent from day one with those guys, and they've known from day one when I got here in January. Never gonna compete during the spot. I don't care if you're a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, transfer, the best guy's gonna play.
That is Thomas Brown, and I've loved his candor since he got here, Diesel, because he literally, one of the first things he said was, I'm here because of the fact that this unit has underperformed in Will Muschamp's time at South Carolina. And the connection with Brian McClendon, his track record in developing running backs, whether it's at Georgia or otherwise. Again, we were talking about best units in the country yesterday, and Georgia being one of the best units over the course of the last couple of years. Part of the reason is because of that guy and the track record that he has laid when it comes to developing running backs. And not only because of that, he now is part of the South Carolina family and part of that fold. He talks about the biggest issue on fixing this running game from a year ago and recent years.
I would just say inconsistency in general. I think there were flashes of a couple guys who had some highlight moments, some highlight games, but it was never back-to-back. And I think competition has a big part of that. When you're allowed to get to the point where you feel comfortable because you may be the most talented guy in the room, or one or two guys, maybe most talented guys, and feel like, excuse me, you'll play no matter what, there becomes an issue. Because I've always said and learned from my own playing experience that I don't care how self-motivated you are, you can never reach a certain level without being pushed by guys around you. I think playing running back is more about, you know, being able to play in the phone booth. You know, can you make a guy miss in short areas? So, in addition to, obviously, tape overrides everything else, but you can tell some stuff from a guy's broad jump, vertical jump, 5'10", 5 shorty, shuttle, about how fast he can change direction. But ultimately, it's about what that guy can do on tape. There are a bunch of guys that can kill some stuff combine-wise, but can't play at all on the football field. So, that's the ultimate determinant factor.
That is Thomas Brown, South Carolina running backs coach. Again, I'll be at Clemson practice tomorrow, getting at least our first visual impressions of the Tigers. I'm going to go there Thursday, Saturday, and then I'm going to also go to Gamecock practice next either Wednesday or Thursday, and then the scrimmage on Saturday. So I will have an opportunity to put my own eyes on both of these teams as we continue throughout the program and give you at least another closer look when it comes to looking at these teams and how they fit for 2019. It is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app, 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, and 71307 is the text line. Start your message with ESPN. Our poll question today is a doozy. There's a national pundit. I don't know if I want to shout this pundit out, but he said something to the effect of the most annoying fan bases in all of college football. He listed them, and let's just say he listed one of these close to our area as one of them. I want to take the pulse of the audience and see how you feel about that. That comes your way next. Is the tide turning for the Tomahawks? Atlanta Braves on their way to a second consecutive victory over Minnesota. We'll give you a sneak peek of what's going on there in Minnesota when we come back on ESPN Upstate. Willie P. and Diesel here with you as we continue on ESPN Upstate. Something Marky Mark was talking about earlier. He was talking about the divided fan bases that could possibly be involved in this state. And he says he didn't notice a lot of South Carolina and Clemson divided households. I don't know how you feel, Deez, but I see that probably a lot more often than you would believe, just based on the fact that, again, I know a lot of people who have dual degrees. I know a lot of people who have, have gone one to the other, and you know, there are people who have South Carolina parents and they have Clemson kids, vice versa. I think that's something that probably happens a lot more often than you realize. And if you go to one of those South Carolina Clemson games, that actually plays itself out, at least in my mind. It's interesting to discern how exactly that plays itself out. Our poll today is a doozy. I do not want to shout it out to the person who inspired the poll, because he used to work for the ESPN. Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, call him out. Throw him under the bus.
It's somebody I don't like giving. I don't like currying favor to this guy, though. I find him a loathsome, offensive brute. Yet I can't look away. Darren Revelle, formerly of ESPN.
Okay.
I think he now works for the Action Network, and he's been doing these ranked polls. And anytime there's a poll involving something that's close to our heart, we wonder about its validity. He says that Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Clemson, among the people who he's surveyed, are the four most annoying fan bases in all of college football. What's one thing that all four of those have in common? They basically stay in the limelight a lot because of success and winning. Notre Dame, more probably fleeting success than any one of those four. Ohio State's won a championship in recent memory. Bama and Clemson obviously have that moniker as well. But I don't know. I feel like if I'm looking at this list of his, I have to say Alabama is the most annoying, honestly. I think Bama, you know, it's funny. People talk about Clemson fans in a negative light, and I don't understand why. But Alabama, they seem very self-righteous. And you want
do they not have reason to be after the amount of sustained success they've had?
But I also think that they parrot their head coach. But they're also willing to parrot their head coach and slam their head coach in the same sentence. Like, they will literally take the Nick Saban excuses moniker and run with it, kind of like Saban is, which we all know Nick Saban's full of baloney when he says things like, oh, well, we had all these distractions, we had all these things around our football team, you know, we had coaches who were wanting to leave, and our guys weren't focused, we were worn out from the SEC schedule. Baloney. Okay?
You were fine with all of those things when you were winning, so right. How are you not fine with them since you lost?
Had just as many problems with that the year before when you ended up beating Clemson. Cam tweets us, he says, the most annoying fan base is South Carolina fans, but seriously, Ohio State. I had a feeling that Ohio State would get a lot of votes given the disdain that people in the state have to the state of Ohio, and I fully endorse anything that gets rid of Ohio. Have I told you my story involving annoying Ohio State fan?
No.
So I had a roommate in college who was in the band where I went to school. Again, I don't like shouting out my alma mater on the air because
Missouri.
I don't think it. Stop it! Why do you? I don't.
You didn't shout him out, but I did. Well, see, you don't get the credit or discredit for doing that.
Okay,
I get it.
Okay, I appreciate that. The point is, I had a roommate in college who was in the band, and you know, it's a band at a school that's in the Power Five, but he was an Ohio State fan. He would wear his Ohio State shirt underneath his band uniform.
Wow.
Fair or foul?
Foul.
Thank you.
In the worst possible way.
In the worst possible way. And apparently when he was in high school, he played the sousaphone and he got to dot the I on like a special like high school band day that they do in the state. He had to dot the I. And so as a result of that, he bandwagons for Ohio State.
Joke's on him. He had to learn the sousaphone.
It's true. He had to carry that thing, too, which, again, about the daintiest person you could possibly think of carrying a sousaphone. The thing is not nearly as heavy as you would think it is, by the way, because this guy could carry it. Not enough slamming my old roommate. Braves 11, Twins 7. It is a final. You know, funny how things change. I was about to sit here and praise the Braves bullpen for really coming together over the last two nights and really shutting the door. And lo and behold, Diesel, they almost blew it again. Josh Tomlin, my guy out of White House, Texas, gives up four runs in just two-thirds of an inning in the ninth when it looked like it was basically a mop-up role for him. Three of them coming off the bat of Miguel Sano, who you remember was the hero on Monday night, who had the home run off of Shane Green. Melanson had to come in and basically clean up the mess, retiring the final batter. But the Braves do get it done, and they win 11-7. Max Fried, 13-4 now on the season. He ends up getting the Braves the victory, and they improved to 68-48. They keep pace, they maintain their pace from the standpoint of being ahead of everybody else in the National League East, and also maintain their lead over the Nationals and the Phillies. Phillies now 7 back in the division, Nationals 6 back in the division. Mets, who have obviously been a big part of this from the standpoint of coming back to at least give the National League East a little bit more competition, they stay 8.5 back. Phillies are 7.5 back. Nationals are 6.5 back after the Braves' 68th victory. And look, you know, this was a series win that was big for them to get because this is, again, part of a position in that schedule where they're playing a lot of these teams that are fighting for playoff spots across baseball, not just in the National League, but of course in the American League with the interleague play. They now get at least a lean part of their schedule now, at least lean series in their schedule when they take on the Marlins, who again lost today to the Mets. Dallas Keuchel is on the hill tomorrow night at Marlins Park, a 7:10 start in Miami. So we'll see if they can make that happen here over the course of the next couple of days. It is ESPN Upstate, Will Polonchik, and our boy Diesel, continuing the program here. A review of Hard Knocks and Adam Gase, crazy person or dedicated? You'll have to hear this part of the story when we come back on ESPN Upstate. I got to tell you, Diesel, I think HBO and NFL Films are kind of losing their touch with this Hard Knocks thing, because they gave you basically some of the best John Gruden that you're going to hear all within the first 4 or 5 minutes. And then I don't think we heard from him only more than 2 or 3 more times with the whole 52-minute episode. Like, that is your star, man. Do you not know that that is your star?
We're in this modern world, though, where you have to give away the ending before you get there, just to keep people hooked.
They only have 5 episodes. It's not like this is a situation where this goes all season. You have 5 episodes. Milk that cow, baby. For all it's worth.
Perhaps John Gruden is not supplying the level of content that they thought he would.
I tell you what, man. I'm more interested in nightmares than I am in dreams. Basically the only line that he was saying that made a lot of sense. I'm not here. We're not here to go to the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're not here to go to the Texas Bowl. We're not here to go to the Peach Bowl. We're here to go to the Super Bowl.
Imagine the all-time talking coaching staff. It'd be him. It'd be Gruden. It'd be Spurrier. Mike Leach.
Did you see Cleveland Farrell getting on that horse? Cleveland Farrell's on that horse. He was on the horse with Old Town Road with Jonathan Abram on that horse, man. I tell you what, man, that guy, he can ride a horse. I wouldn't want to be that horse carrying that guy. He's 260 pounds of full defensive lineman. I didn't also, and again, I made this connection when Cleveland Farrell was drafted. There were some great parts with him in that. I didn't realize the connection until, again, seeing it for the second time after he was drafted. The fact that former Clemson defensive lineman Brenson Buckner is the D-line coach at Oakland. So he will have Clemson on Clemson help from that. And he also made a comment. It was fleeting at the end, and I was texting back and forth with Grace Rayner of The Athletic, who does a fantastic job coming from Clemson, and she basically has the essential Hunter Renfrow article that you have for his departure from Clemson, talks about his wedding, and Hunter Renfrow makes a cameo at the end of the episode with his wife, and he says something to the effect of, I tell you what, man, Hunter Renfrow, I admire you, man. Not only are you somebody who clawed your way up from the bottom of Clemson, but you married up, man. You married up. I told you I'd give you a better Gruden today. Is it a better Gruden today in your mind? Or is it better?
It's a little Frank Caliendo doing Gruden.
Well, it's kind of what it sounds like, man. Kind of what it sounds like, man. But yeah, that was weird. So I saw this story. This will not go in the non-sports story that make you smile and smirk, but it is a story about a sports person involving a non-sports activity. So apparently, Adam Gase, would you call this lunacy or would you call this efficiency? Because apparently, he scheduled the operation for his wife's C-section to have their baby boy last year for 10 a.m. And he wanted to make a 2 p.m. meeting with Peyton Manning in order to make that happen when he was the offensive coordinator of the Broncos. They pulled the baby out of me, according to Gase's wife, and said they didn't even sew her back up together. And he's like, you good? And she said, yeah, I'm good. And he said, all right, I'm out. He said, do you want to cut the cord? He said, no, I'm good. And he ended up showing up to the meeting. Peyton thought the meeting was canceled, walks into Gase's office, sees him sitting there, and he's surprised. Is that efficiency or is that lunacy? I think that's lunacy.
Can it be both?
I don't think it's efficiency. I think that's insensitivity is what that is. Personally.
Do you remember that scene in the movie A League of Their Own?
Yes.
When the young kid drives Dottie Henson to the to the Suds, yes. Sacco Suds, or yes. Whatever it was called, and you know he says, "Can't? Why don't you just take me in the back seat and make a man out of me?" She goes, "How about I slap you around a little bit?" He goes, "Can't we do both?" It's both.
That's good. I also want to give a shout out while we have a moment to the Taylor's South Carolina baseball team in the Little League World Series regionals.
Tough
in
game.
Warner Robins, Georgia. It falls by the wayside for them in the elimination game against Georgia. 10-1, a final. basically a situation for them where they were going to have to do an uphill battle, win two games in the final day in order to try and get themselves to Williamsport. But kudos to them for fighting. Who is the most annoying fan base in all of college football? 844-GSP-ESPN. I'll give you my answer. Diesel will give you yours. And we'll tell you what the poll question says of the day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.